say we didn't see them. And they also affect the atmosphere, the ecosystem of Christianity in Edo State. So we will be looking at these areas and many more. So what we're looking at is primarily the health of the pastor. And we'll be engaging in such a way that Pastor Ben will share, Pastor Chintok will share, I will share if needs be, if there is a need. However, each time I want to talk to people who lead the belief system, I like to talk about administration. The reason I like to talk about administration is I came from a background that, as at the time I was there, they didn't have Holy Spirit in manifestation. They didn't have the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's the Roman Catholic Church. But they have strong administration, that they are growing things, growing their work without the Holy Spirit, as it is, quote unquote. But there is administration. However, when we're administrating, we're also creating a lot of space. So this is what we're doing, but we're creating a lot of space for the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. He's free to disrupt the administrative process, but we must have administration. And administration is not simply steering the vision. If you a woman who is cooking in the kitchen, she has a spoon in her hand. You add all the ingredients, and then you take the spoon and you start stirring it so that everything will mix together. So if you don't have the administration in your place, it means that you are building something that will end with you. A revival without administration will end here. If we have administration, the revival will go after us. If you have been reading history, you must have studied some revival. Some of the revival stopped. Why? Either the administration was faulty, or the administration did not carry the breath of the Holy Spirit. There are several administrative processes that people can use depending on your expression. We discovered that Rick Warren has been mentored by Peter Drucker. That is the father of administration. And that's the administrative process that we are using to steer the vision. What we are just telling ourselves is, we look at everything we are doing. We divided them until we got to toothpick. By the time you get to toothpick, when I say toothpick, I mean the smallest. And we ask ourselves, all these things that look alike, can we put it together at this place? All these things that look alike, can we put it together here? All these things that look alike. So we discovered, studying Jesus, that he first of all said, love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your might, and with all your soul. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And from his words, from the mouth of Jesus, he said, this is the greatest commandment. So we ask ourselves, what can we do with these two? We discover that to love the Lord, your God, with all your life, with everything you, is simply called worship. So, okay, can we administrate, put a structure together that will manage everything about worship? The creative part of the assembly, those who are drawing, those who are acting, those who are poetry, everything about creativity, can we put them together in such a way that they can continue and find expressions of God from there? And then we always say to them, the Holy Spirit, like you were saying today, sir, the Holy Spirit is permitted to disrupt this entire thing that you have. All right? And then when we created that, we came back again and said to ourselves, how do we drive it? There has to be a personnel who will drive everything about creativity. We call that personnel the worship leader or the magnification director, as we call here. But we also say to ourselves that the biggest thing we do in FEM Foundation is worship. So the chief worship leader is our church, of our church is our pastor. He's the lead worshiper. Yeah. He regulates all of that. All right? We now came back and said to ourselves, this person who is magnification director will need a job description. So we sat down again, did a lot of research, and created a job description for this person. Then we just said to this person, what do you do? Can you put it down in writing for us? Because we are not there. We don't know what you are doing. In terms of there are things you are doing that we will not be able to see. So she put down, we brought our research. I said, look at this. These documents we will give you if you want. We'll mail to you if you want them. We say, okay, the thing that God is revealing to you, does it explain it? He says, okay, this helps to do the work because we're giving you a frame of reference for what it is you're doing. And then we went back again and said, for the kind of expression God has given us, for the kind of expression, because everybody's expression is different, we don't do choir. You know, as you know, choir. Says everybody, I sit down, special number. Ride on, King Jesus. Yes, we used to do that. I'm not saying it's bad. No, we're not saying it's bad. But the expressions we are giving, it didn't accommodate that. Yes, we used to have it. But he came, the chief worshiper came and said, no, this, everybody sit down, let them perform in front of you. So it took us time, we fought. We said, no, we have been singing choir. We've been singing a special number of our lives. If we remove special number, what will we now be doing? He was taking time to explain that this is not it. And the choir couldn't understand what it is he was saying. Because they had been used to a wineskin that is special number. So even the people who come to train the choir will go back to special number. We say, no, this is not what I saw. We went back and forth, and he was so patient, and we sorted that it was turbulent. So you find out at the time, Pastor Chintok had to come and began to tell the choir because they have the same breath. They have the same sound. And then we got that right. So we now created a training out of it that we call Avram School of Worship. We created it. Then we created a creative conference out of that. All right? So we now went back and said to the choir, everything we are doing, break it until you get to the smallest, the toothpick of it. So that we say, oh, we forgot something. It becomes a working manual for the thing people are doing. That one, we packed it to one side. We went back again and continued this research. Because God has given work, you must administrate the work. We must administrate the work and give a lot of time. And after some time, if he says, this is not what I want, you completely discard. You are following. So we looked again and said, love the Lord your God. That's worship. Love your neighbor as yourself. It sounded like service. I told you that we were studying a document. We discovered that love your neighbor as yourself is service. And I'm going to ask myself, what does service mean? Service means ministry. Who are we ministering to? We said to ourselves, the first part of our service is that we're serving believers. So you have the ushering department, hospitality team, who we say, come, when you are coming here to serve on the first day of the week, the day you call Sunday, I want you to know that you are here to serve others. So you are serving the children of the King. It must be at the back of your head that you will serve them in that manner. Okay? And then there are some aspects of the service now that has to do with counseling, that has to do with encouragement, that has to do with all of that. Anything you can do to add value to someone's life. We came back and said, we need to create a ministry director. So that's Pastor Anguili. We now say, what is your job description? Bring the things you are doing. We matched it together. Now, she now went further and said to us that she has discovered that the directorate of ministry is a subset of what is called Ministry and Transformation Center. So she discovered that. Why? Let me back up a little bit. Pastor Ben tells us that every pastor, every member of the family must understand that you have a ministry. You have an expression God has given you that if you're a location pastor, being location pastor is just one tiny part of the ministry that God has given you. You must express your own ministry. So he will now create a structure around it for your expression. If there's a banner outside, it said Abner School of the Prophetic. It's not Pastor Ben that is leading it. It's Pastor Blessing. That is, she's very strong in the prophetic, very strong. So he saw the gift and created a structure around it. Now, all of that came from what I'm really called ministry transformation. What do people call that? MTDC. Ministry Transformation and Development Center. What are they doing? They're asking themselves, this place where we are, the only vacancies in the church cannot just be choir, ushering, the regular things. There are other people who are also baiting things that is not, it might not be something that we are used to, but they are baiting things. How do we create a structure around that? So they say again to themselves that these people who do this thing must be healthy, so that it's not that you are ushering in church and then you're a problem to your place of work. That whenever you come to work, everybody in the office will be sad. The day you are not around, they thank God. So they're saying, no, we're not just saying you are serving. We're also checking your own life as a person. So again, a structure was created to handle all of that. We went back again to that thing Jesus said and said, we have tackled, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. How do we now tackle the part where Jesus, the last thing that Jesus said before he left? He said, go and make disciples, evangelism. How do we get these people to do evangelism and not afraid? We again created a structure around it and got some who you call evangelism director, which is Pastor Peter now, created a job description, created a working manual for him to use. Now, all these things were done one day. There were a lot of failures. You did it, you failed it, you didn't do it well. You didn't accommodate what God was showing you properly. So Pastor Peter now took that ministry and began to evolve it to the point where he's telling us there are about 13 different ways you can do evangelism. That he will now lead us to do evangelism. We went again and said, good. This thing Jesus said, go and make disciples of baptizing. We discovered to baptize means to immerse, to soak someone, that is to initiate. And we said, that looks like fellowship. So we now came back and created a structure that the job of that structure is follow up. The job of that structure is the members, how can we get them to be committed to one another? How can we get them to be committed to themselves? And then we also created created a job description. And one thing was left. And the thing that was left was discipleship. We did the same thing. So we found five things. We found fellowship. We found spiritual maturity. We found service. We found worship. And we found evangelism and missions. These five pillars, we created structures around them so that anything you are doing, we're asking ourselves, which of these five are you trying to meet? We created a job description around them. We created a personnel around them. We packed that to one side. We went back and said, this thing where we have, the people must understand what it is for them to run. So we created a training system we call Firm Development Academy around this whole thing. So the moment you enter Firm Foundation and we succeed in making you pass, we take you through a training system. You will hear these things through that training system. So when you finish the training system and you come back here and you're hearing fellowship, you're in discipleship, you automatically know where you're going. However, when you get to the 300 level, which is the one, Ministry Transformation Center, before they send you to any department, they will sit down and do some kind of interview with you to find out your strongest passion. We don't just want to send you to the choir because your friend is in the choir. Or send you to the ushering department because your friend is in the ushering department. We see that, okay, you have to do IT. So we're going to post you to the children's church. Say, no, it's not my shape, it's not my shape. Say, start from there first. We discover that most times people want to go to the choir because either their friends are there or maybe they're looking for a husband. They say, when I go to choir, I sing, I find a husband. I'm telling you. He said, people will see me there. So if we don't create administration, everything God has said to you, you must create a structure around it. Build according to the pattern was what was said to Moses. So Moses took the pattern and tried to communicate it to Bezalel. So when Bezalel was building, he would say, Moses, is this what you're seeing? What Moses was told to build, Bezalel had the expression in his spirit, so he's able to create it. The prophetic word that God is giving you concerning where the ministry is going, you must create administration over it. Otherwise, you will say it and 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 it never happens. If God said to you that he wants you to begin to raise young people who will influence the direction of Africa in the next 10 years, what is he telling you? It's not going to happen by chance. You have to now come back to the drawing table. You have to have a strategic system. Even if it is one person that is your assistant person, it's one person. You two of you must sit down and say, this thing that God said to us, how will our program, our opening, our door, closing it, how will it reflect that we are positioning ourselves that in the near future, that the next election that is coming, we are going to influence how election will go without saying a word. So he says to you in the next 10 years, it means that you must create an administration to house the vision that God said to you. Several years ago, Pastor Ben said to us that God says he should pastor the city. And you know, when he says we're looking at him, we just started, we already want to pastor. We haven't finished pastoring the few people that God gave us. He said one of the things that God said to him is that we should run a prayer room. So he says to us, the prayer room will run for 1 hour every day. We said to ourselves, 1 hour is not a problem. It's 1 hour a problem. Well, 12 to 1. We'll run a problem. We'll run 1 hour. We are very graciously going for 1 hour. That it took him time to get us to go for that 1 hour. We didn't understand. We couldn't connect how pastoring the city has to do with going to pray. It didn't link in our head. It didn't make sense. After some time, he said, it's 2 hours. Ah. He said, it's 3 hours. It was as if when he says it, we follow him. We even go, let's do a meeting to see how to disrupt this process. And we came here to walk, not to pray. And then he brings us again. He says, our first walk is prayer. When we pray, he will now tell us where to go. We saw that prayer increase until it has gone from 7 to 1 o'clock. And then sometimes we see ourselves doing 48 hours nonstop, 24 hours, 98 hours nonstop. Especially when Nigeria was getting ready for election and when Edo State was getting ready for election. And so one day, just listen carefully. We pray all these prayers, sir, and we're getting prophetic word, and we're writing it. And when we write those prophetic words, one of the prophetic words we got is that the Gele seaport is going to open. When they wrote that thing, some of us look at it and say, these people, now they dream more. Gele port, that's where, that's where, it's a historical, that's one of our Pini kings in many, many years. Is it centuries now? Many of you read that book. where the king was captured. Then Pastor Ben comes and says, that the Lord said they are going to open it. Well, I said to myself, you didn't see this one well. But just forget about it. The new governor comes. His first speech, the very first speech he made, was about that seaport. And our church members say, that thing they said to us in prayer room, look at it, it's happening. And then we sit down in church one day, having service, enjoying ourselves. And someone says to us, the governor is in church. We didn't invite him. The reason I'm sharing this with you is, no matter how small what God has said to you is, you must administrate it to where you're going. We were singing one day, someone sees us, saw us, and he said, you people are sounding like Chintok. I said, Chintok, that's my brother. He said, no wonder, it's the same spirit. Now, they have been singing in this place, I won't mention it, they have been singing in this place for more than 2 years. They have been singing this way for 1 or 2 years. Now, this one can say, hey, that sound, that's the sound we need to break the head of the serpent. That's that sound. Then we begin to, they're not arguing with me. People are not from Edo. I say, we live in this. I say, no, you people came from Jos. I argued, I couldn't argue again. I left them. I'm telling you that they now say, okay, if you're in Benin, where are you in Benin? I say, Jerry, he said, we're in Jerry. I mean, live in Jerry. You can't be. He said, we have gone to Jos to call them to come. I left the argument. The idea is, if you see Pastor Shane talk here, it's part of, this is what God said, stirring the vision. How do we stir the vision? This one brings pepper. This one brings egusi. This one brings onions. We just in here and be turning it. But have the thing what God has said, it's not just for ministry. You don't have what it is you're using to stir, because the prophetic word is the spoon you use to stir the vision. If that thing is not there, you will confuse sound. Today you preach like Johnson Suleiman. Tomorrow you turn to Selman. The next tomorrow you turn to T.D. Jakes. You will just be looking at anything that is working, you bring it in. So that's one aspect I want you to do. Administration is key for the things we are doing. When you are going to run a program in your church, don't just start from the up. What do you want to do? What do you want to achieve? At the end of this program, what is God? What did God say to you? That determines the speaker. You go again, take the project, break it down to the smallest, and say, okay, who are the personnels? How much money? Now, when you're saying this, how much money, it's not out of fear. It's knowing that he that called you is faithful. That he is also free to disrupt your plan. You must tell yourself that it is the presence that guides this. Now, pack that to one side. Number two, that's administration. Number two, your church must have a culture. Or your business, there must be culture. What do I mean by culture? That culture is the expected behavior of the assembly. If you meet a Catholic, they have a culture. Let's not go there. Yoruba people have a culture. Igbos have culture. One day I was talking to church leaders. I said to them, if we are in a stadium, you are from Assemblies of God, I'm from Christ Embassy, you are from Church of God Mission, you are from Covenant Christian Center, and all of us are together, what culture are we going to use? That's why you see that sometimes we have a lot of challenges. Then I ask the question again, Igbo, Hausa, Benin, Yoruba, all of us are in one room, and we want to undertake a project, what culture are we going to use? And for us who are kingdom people, it's kingdom culture. That's the culture we live by. So that you are in a place, something comes, you defer straight to kingdom culture. They call you for politics. Said, we want you to be the next governor of Edo State. We have seen you're going to be the next governor. But they say, before you take this thing, you must first of all you must swear an oath. And when you're swearing that to oath, they bring Ogun and Shango. What will you defer to? If your lead pastor is not around and you people want to do something, or something in someone in church misbehaves, it should not be the lead pastor who is telling the person that this thing you did is not right. It is all of us saying to the person at the same time, this is not right. You know why? If it's only the lead pastor that is saying it, sometimes the lead pastor is turned to a scapegoat. Say, you can even go behind and say, I don't know why they treated you like that. Oh, I don't know why they treated you like that. I don't think it's right. But if we have a culture we defer to, that culture determines the direction we are going. That culture determines our behavior. So, for instance, we have something called culture of honor. Culture of honor does not simply mean that it's only Pastor Ben or Pastor Chintok that we're going to honor. Culture of honor means I will honor Pastor Chintok. I will also honor everyone Pastor Chintok came with, irrespective of whether you know the person or not. You know, sometimes you can honor the main speaker and dishonor every other person. Culture of honor goes up and then it goes down. Culture of honor means I recognize the value that you carry. Culture of honor means that the glory in you, I recognize it. Culture of honor means when I see you, I see the image of God. So I won't honor you because you are honorable. No. I honor you because I am a person of honor. It's my culture. So, Pastor Jim, you were saying something today that turned my mind. How do we lead in the society? How do we parent our children? How do we marry? How do we date? All those things we don't do within the four walls of the church. We leave the church and then we go outside. Which culture are we going to use? These things cause problems all the time. Where we are not now sure, yes, whether it is kingdom culture we are going to use or Benin culture. Some of the things that are causing problems in some of the churches in Nigeria today is a cultural problem. He said the person there is not an Igbo man. He's supposed to be a Benin man. Why did they put an Igbo man? And then problem starts. As if in heaven, there will be Igbo. And there are churches in Benin that in this state that have taken themselves to court based on this, and I'm telling you that the next bishop is supposed to be a Benin man. After all, the older one, say the last 4 years, they have all had Igbo, they have had Yoruba, they haven't had Benin, and they start quarreling. The church will divide into two. The one that is the strongest person with money will move the church to his compound and then take everybody to court. What are they going to court to judge? Say they have given two bishops, Igbo and Yoruba. They haven't given it to Benin. And then we're judging it in church. Culture. So we need... Your church must look like something. And it is that culture that we're talking about that determines the expression. There are some things you won't allow inside. It's not that those things you do, they'll go to hell. In this church, there are some kind of prayers we don't pray. Not that those prayers are bad. It's not that if we pray those prayers, we'll go to hell. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not, you can't, you, in this place, when you come in, you hear the song. The songs are more of God's presence, intimacy with the Holy Spirit and all of that. There are some songs, it doesn't enter our mouth to sing very easily. Wherever demons are gathered. It's not a bad song, though. It's not a bad song. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not a bad song. But it's just that we take the demons from another direction. We release presence. We release God's presence. That's our direction. That's not our focus. So if you stand on the altar and then you are singing that kind of song. It's not that we won't sing. It's not that we won't sing. We will honor you. No, we'll honor you. Sometimes one of the things he tells us, he was telling me that we do that. Sometimes he will bring a speaker that his beliefs and our own are not the same, to see how much people have grown. It's not that when you sing, it's not that the choir will see my grandfather say, "We'll follow you to sing. We'll honor you with the singing." But it's not. But they know, without us, we don't need to come and take a microphone and say, we don't sing this kind. The people know. We have a culture of generosity. So our pastor spent about 3 months talking about generosity. 3 months. In that 3 months, he didn't raise money. It's not that raising money is bad, but we want it to be culture. We want you to know naturally that this is who we are. So when the pandemic came, church members were contributing money together in case there are people in church who will not have money to eat during the pandemic. Because someone taught them culture of generosity. We have something we call culture of family. We have so many culture of family. So at the pandemic, you don't need to start teaching them then that everybody here, they are members of your family. They already know before this time that they are members of your family. So you find out that someone will come, buy beans, buy rice. Someone brought money, say, "Please give money to everybody in church who doesn't have money." It's culture. You don't plant culture when trouble comes. You plant culture ahead of time. So when there is, whether there is, it just takes you. So during the pandemic, we're just enjoying ourselves. We didn't know it was everything. The salaries were being paid. We continue what we are doing normally. Culture. Lastly, I'm taking it for granted that your church has a vision. That what you're constantly saying to the people, you are speaking from. Listen, you know Lagos. Lagos is like America. They are very loud. They are very loud. If you are not careful, you can copy Papa Yeribolain who can sing. Don't say to me. And you forget that is not your vision. They mentor you. You learn something, but you must remember that there is something, there is something God told you to do. Yes. If you copy, say, "I didn't work." You drop him, you pick House on the Rock. You drop him, you pick Covenant. No. What did God show you? This thing he showed you, how are you going to reach it? This is now your mission. The people in your, you must put it in such a way that they will know it. Either you are quoting it or you are writing it in paper, they need to know it because it's part of their lives. Now, your administration flows mission, vision, purpose, culture. So you don't pull in administration from somewhere. It is what God has given that we administrate. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can see these men now. You can see these men. See what they are doing.
He's oppressing me because he's the senior pastor here. Praise God. Good afternoon, everybody. And can we celebrate Pastor K sincerely? Amen. Please celebrate Pastor K. Even I had to take note of certain things, and I'm going home to fix them. Amen. Please sit down. I'm going to speak about only one thing. One, only. Just one thing. So maybe in 5 minutes, I'll give Pastor Ben the mic. It depends on which kind of 5 minutes. There are different kinds. Praise God. One of the things that has, if you ask me sincerely, one of the things that has really helped me personally, because one of the things I'm beginning to focus on now is the health of the minister. As a minister of the gospel, you have to be healthy. If you are not healthy on every front, you will soon communicate your disease to everybody. Do you understand it? For instance, if a minister is insecure, you will soon, out of insecurity, give Satan a foothold for competition in your sphere. Do you understand it? If a minister is seeking the soul, he has an interpretation problem. So anything you say, he interprets it from maybe one person, not this person. A sickness. The next thing that will happen is that you will find out that that minister will crush people with genuine intentions around him. So this thing that Pastor K was saying, that expression that permits that everybody is able to add according to the vision given to them within the context of the central vision of the house. For instance, she spoke about Adlam School of the Prophetic, right? Uh-huh. And it's not a ministry centered around Pastor Ben or Pastor K. No. It's not a ministry that is born out of them. It means that your environment must be healthy enough for people to be able to birth genuine ministry. So that in the office of oversight, there are only two things you need to do for people within that context. Number one, you want to find out if they are matured enough to birth what it is they are seeing. There are certain people you need to tell, no, hold on. You got a ministry, we agree, but the timing is not right. There's some work we need to do on you so that you can administrate that which you see. Number two, the second thing you need to do for them is you need to be able to provide that pastoral covering and support that says to everybody, this thing that this person is doing, if you don't support it, you are against me. That's what the pastoral center is supposed to do. For instance, I've tried within our church to permit the church to grow organically. So I tell people, if I call you and I say you are the head of a department, you need to understand that part of your assignment is also to create the vision by which that department will run. It is out of that vision that you bring back to us that we look at it and we say, yeah, it's within the context of the central purpose that God has called us. Because the same God that called us will not call you to serve under us and give you a vision that is outside what he has given us. In one of the ways we test whether you are actually called to work with us. If the vision, you say, this is a good vision. I think you should start a ministry outside here. Because good vision does not necessarily mean God vision. At least not within the context of what we are giving to administrate. But you see, every kind of insecurity now makes that if you hear that anybody has anything. For instance, I'll give you a picture. One of the ministries I have a strong passion for is secondary school outreaches. I can go to a secondary school in my life, with my last. I can spend my last money. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you see it, the amount of work and the amount of quote and unquote talents I have been given. Do you understand? I did quote and unquote because talent in the sense we interpret it is not what the Bible says, but in the context in which you understand, a man is giving different kind of expressions, different gifts. And you know that I'm such a man, I can administrate almost every aspect of church life. And because of that, it's not only my church I serve the body of Christ and the nations of the earth. And I serve both as a singing priest and as a teaching priest. So I have demands everywhere which don't permit me to focus on doing church the way I want to. So God had to bless me with Bezaleels. It had to happen. One girl took the madness, and she was in my secondary school. She told me that she got saved when I came back after my secondary school years. Do you understand it? Now, the reason for my passion for secondary schools is that I met Jesus in secondary school. I knew the Lord from secondary school. So while people are thinking, let those students be playing there, I'm looking at the potential of what can rise from there and hit the nations of the earth. If we can give these children focus. And I find out that one of the reasons why I cannot, there's no sliding for me, whether it's side slide, back slide, all these slides. Jesus is the only thing I seem to know. If I enter into the world today, I'll be a misfit. Some of you still have the option. Because you tried the world small, you know. Do you understand? So when I'm thinking of my options, going back is not part of it. Because there's no back to go to. I've never been in an organized party in my life. You know this jam that they go to or go for club. I've never. If I go for parties, birthday. I'll cut the cake and say, yeah, hippie people, hooray, I'm on my own. It's all I know. One day I even started feeling bad that I was not bad. I told God, you'll have left me. Like Saul of Tarsus, let me enjoy the world, or let me know at least how things happening there. Then he can save me. How will you save me early like that? But you see, that's me. And I'm beginning to look at the next generation. I'm telling myself, Lord, you've got to capture that generation. So that another generation is risen that does not have a back to go to. There's no backslide for them. Every time they think their options are small. Because God saved them early. Now I brought it down. I am believing God for a generation that will not know darkness. You know, it was Paul who explained it. He said, I was once in light. When they gave birth to me, I didn't know evil. Didn't. Then the law came. Then sin revived. Then I died. That's Romans chapter 6. What he was actually speaking about was the innocence of childhood. That from the innocence of childhood, I had light. The absence of the knowledge of the earth gave me light. But the moment they started to tell me, this is how to do. No, no, don't sit next to a woman. Ah, don't. Yeah, ah. Then sin revived. Then I died. What I'm trusting God for now is for a generation of children who the earliest cultures we give to them is light. So that they come from light into greater light. They bypass death. Just leave it for another day. You understand? Just. But I'm saying to you, that was one of my strong passions. So immediately after secondary school, while I was waiting for the university, I waited about a year and a half. While I was waiting for the university, the Lord asked me to go back to my secondary school to do a revival. That revival is etched in the archives of that school forever. It was the first time the school permitted that anybody should have an all-night. Because the first day we came, God broke out in healings and deliverances. That time I used to think I was a deliverance minister. I would lock you in a room, we'll do deliverance for 3 weeks. So one demon will cast out to 3 weeks. That time we'll pass away. We lock prayer. God, then the person will deck. Then we'll say it's gone. The other time we start praying again, the person starts decking. Say, it's there. And we were walking by sight. And Satan knew how to waste our time. So I told all my pastors, now if deliverance is more than 2 minutes, you handle it. You now for what now? The Lord Jesus said, get out. Why would I tell you get out and you be there? For what? But it says, you don't have to lock room. And then we pray 13 hours for devil. If I'm praying 6 hours, it's God though. It's only fellowship that keeps me long in God's presence. All these other things are assignments. If I come out on assignment where the word of the king is, there is power. I declared once, you don't do it. I turn around. I used to teach one of my friends. He used to say, angels of my anointing, go now. Yeah. Angels are ministering spirits. You tell them to handle it. In the meantime, let's be doing other things. You know, Satan will waste your time. You will stay in one room like, hey, they ask you, what are you doing? You say, I'm casting one devil. How many years? Or what? One day I told them, I said, I'm too old for these things. Bring children, let them cast this thing out. Is anybody following me? Well, God asked me to go back to my secondary school. I went back. I mean, we had a massive revival. A massive revival. And a girl told me that that was when she got saved. It was in that revival. She was a just one girl. Now she's the director of our secondary school outreaches. You know her now. Joy. Crazy girl. Every Friday. Now she's raising a team with her. Every Friday they are in different schools in Jos. I told them, I said, leave all these pastors. Let them be struggling for old people. Let's go for these people. You understand? There's no problem struggling with old people. Though. You are called to it. Me, give me the next generation. Let me culture it. My church, one of the old people even came and met me recently. I said, Daddy, you are not involving us. I say it's because you people are complex. Your wine skin has tear. The tear in your wine skin is coming from so much. These ones, I caught them when I could culture them. If I give you a microphone now, if you do something, rebuking you is hard because you are old. Part of the problem. So you can misbehave now. You come down. I have to tell you, hey, you tried. Well done. If it's one of these children, if they do what you did, what are we do to them? Do you understand it? But that's me. It's the culture I've learned. I mean, it's the culture I have raised. Catch these people early. If you catch them early, let them take their lives seriously. And the world should wait and see what we'll give them in the next 10, 15 years. The generation will give them, they are not ready for. But that was part of the things in my heart. God had to bring that girl to carry it as a burden. So what does she do for me now? Once every year in August, she does a central meeting where the children they have met in every school gather. Then I pour them Holy Ghost. I do it like it's the last day. I don't understand. No. When did you start your own? We'll check who started first. I'm telling you. It's part of the reasons why you see me come to Firm Foundation and I'm very loose. I'm at home. Yeah. Because many times when I'm sitting down and I see what Firm Foundation is, I say, yay, they are reading my books. Do you understand it? You have to find people of a kindred spirit. Just take that off. You have to find people of a kindred spirit. So God has to give you those people. But this was my central thought. My central thought is that the minister himself has to be healthy. Because if you are not healthy, when they now tell you the kind of result that that girl is getting from a secondary school, you're now been thinking, hey, so I see here. That's how this girl now come and take over. One day they now wake up in this church and elect her general overseer. Then you find yourself fighting a little girl who has done nothing but add to you. Then you find out that as pastor, you are looking for a tiny fault in what the child. So let's talk about the health of the pastor. It's very important. You don't have, if you are not healthy within, you will damage everything God puts in your hand. So one of the strongest things I teach in the school of ministry is actually a healthy self-perception. If you don't have a healthy self-perception, like I said, you damage everything. And I found out that the greatest enemy of your self-perception is pressure. Hey, as a minister, that's all I'm going to say. As a minister, you have to fight every kind of pressure. Spend time in the Word of God and in the presence of God. Let me tell you how the Word and the presence work. I said to you yesterday, God will not reveal it to you if he does not intend to do it to you. He won't. Right? The moment the revelation of it comes to you, know that the intent of God is that that word will not return to him void. It will accomplish. That's why many times you arrive at a scripture you have read again and again and again, but today you are reading it and a light is coming. The light that is coming is what God intends to do. It's not the scripture written. You will come back to it again in 3 months, the same piece of scripture, a new light. That light that comes out is not rhema for sharing. It's what God intends to do. If you hold on to it as a light in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart, you will soon see that every light and mystery you see out of scripture becomes your everyday reality. That's how I change. One day somebody said to me, now I know your greatest spiritual secret. He said, your greatest spiritual secret is that you worship. I said, you got it wrong. My strongest spiritual strength is meditation. That's why I teach the way I teach. If I see light in one scripture, let's die there. We die there. I will soak every part of it. I did it, raised the desire for it until I arrived at the place where while you are talking, I'm listening to the Holy Ghost. I'm hearing you like this. I'm hearing the Spirit like this. So I take a combination of what you have said and what the Spirit was saying to me while you were saying. By the time I married, if I give you back your rhema, you understand it? Listen, with no sense of pride. That was what happened to me when Papa Chidume was teaching here now. It was what he wasn't saying, I was seeing, until the host of David. I've never seen that scripture before in my life. Never. And you know when we say that, it's not that you have not read it. It's that you kept reading it. But the light in it was not given to you. And God does it so that we can respect one another. Yeah. You are the one God gave that thing. God bless you. Thank you. Because at least the crumbs of what you ate on the table, he came. You understand it? There is no place now, quote that scripture. I don't remember Papa Chidume. No way. That in the time of trouble, people kept bringing help to David day by day. So my trouble should birth in me an expectation for adventure. Where is the help coming today? That's why I told people that especially if you are going through lack, your answer is not money. Your answer is supply. In the season of your stretch, don't always look for money. Celebrate supply. So, Pastor K, I gave all my salary to God this month, Abby. Then every day I step out, a car stops and picks me to office. If I enumerate that every day, it will have cost me 500 to the office. Then it was that month that I decided to give to God that one of the people that work with me say, every day I'll drop you at home. I did not solicit. Then for some strange reason, every break in the office, somebody walks out and says, I'm going to lunch. Can you go with me? You understand it? Yeah. The problem is you are eating the lunch and then you're thinking, oh God, is this how my life will be? This is how people will be taking care of me? Because you don't see God unless he sends money. That's your problem. I can't tell you the number of projects I accomplished by divine orchestrations. So somebody will get up and say, Pastor Ben was sharing one with me today. Who is a pastor? I hope I'm not like, it's not even a serious something, so I can't share it. Pastor Ben was sharing one with me. He said, okay, that he said that because we're in Uyi Grand now, let them work on the toilets in church. Then he asked for quotation. They brought him three quotations. That he looked at one. And he said, let's do this one. How would you have known which one to do? He said, let's do this one. Then they now sent him a text and said, please forget about the quotation. I will do everything for free. How would you have done it? Which book do you want to read? Which class? Who will teach you that one? How to discern between quotations? And we're not even sure that the one he picked was the cheapest, though. I didn't ask him that one. Maybe when he comes, he'll tell you. So he wasn't even looking out for what is. This is the one my heart rests with. So let's run with this one. He would have looked for the cheapest. Now they would have been spending Fair Foundation money. Do you understand it? And when they finish, they now say, ah, church is broke. Do you understand it? Don't celebrate. Okay, so thank God self that one has quotation. So that thing that the person said, I will do. If you had woken up and you didn't, it wasn't a project you set out to do in church, and somebody says to you, he will redo the toilet, you will never know how much it will have cost to do it. You can't add that one to church budget for the year. How do you do it? Okay, I beg, tell us how much you are spending so that we can write it. We don't want people to think we are stealing. How do you do it? Do you understand it? Those things. You just get out to do a thing. I bet, let me not share. Orchestration. Enjoy supply. Don't, it's not money. God has a million and one ways to supply outside money. It is part of the wineskins that we will stretch it to the come back in the evening. Because it is Babylonian thinking. It is what conquered has Christ and Belial. This thinking is Belial. And we have taught it in church. We even have confessions for it. Let me not go there. Because every time you are teaching supply, you now spoil it by shouting, money!
Nah.
And in the season where God is stretching you, his answer is not money. He wants to show you a supply system that is beyond the earth. How do you explain? Who used to bake manna? Tell me. You bake something. Yeah, that's why I went towards you. That's how you know I'm a man of God. Do you have the recipe for manna? We want to eat manna for communion today. Can you bring it? Do you understand it? And every day without fail, it fell from heaven.
For millions.
Millions! And they did their humanity every day. And God calculated their humanity into the supply. Because you know he gave them warning. Don't pack too much. They're Nigerians, so those guys. We are the real Jews. So I mean, if you look at Nigerians, the stories in the Bible. You know that. They said, don't pack too much. They said, just pack enough to eat today. Somebody said to him, this is how we see today. We don't know where it will come tomorrow. Amen. Oh, pack this thing. Pack this thing. After the guy went back inside, ate the one he could eat. He sat down to watch it all night. So that you see what God will do. The moment he did like this and woke up, the thing was rotting. And God in his mercy did not say, block the house of everybody who has rotting manna. Let them eat it like that so that they can learn their lesson. If I was God there, the kind of things people will suffer in this world. Because if you do that kind of thing against my instruction, I'll tell Moses, seal the house of everybody who packed excess manna. Let them eat that rotting manna. You understand? And celebrate God's supply. If he supplies it in money, blessed be his name. If you understand supply, God will send you money for something. You will know this money would have been able to do this need. Then the Holy Ghost will speak to you on the other ear and say, give it. And I will tell you, it's part of the reasons why the highest thing God asks us to give is money. The reason is because he wants to break the tyranny of money over us. What I mean by the highest is I'm saying that's what God asks for most frequently from the average believer. Most times he won't ask you for your house. Most times he will not ask you for clothes. Who will wear a cloth that you have shaped to your size? Most times he will not ask for. He will ask you for money. What he's trying to do is he's trying to break the power of that idol. But let me go to what I came to say. I don't know why I've been saying all these things. Let me just say the real one. Listen, the real problem is that there's pressure within. So you must learn the spiritual technology to deal with all kinds of pressure. It's part of the reasons why the minister must be without guile. You see, any matter that keeps bitterness inside of you, fight it like you fight the devil. Any matter that puts insufficiency inside of you, and I'm not talking about the insufficiency that sends you to God, because it's part of the solution for your pressure. If you feel like, man, this guy is preaching better than me, and I'm the Jew of this church. You must return to the God who makes men all sufficient. I didn't even have a choice. I had to outgrow it. I was raising a crazy set of young people, the way they read the Bible. And it was by an impartation. I raised them. So they collected my crazy Bible study. But the problem is that I did not fix the regulator to stop them from studying the parts of the Bible that I've not studied. That was the mistake. If you did not laugh, you did not get the joke. So one day, Pastor, okay, let me tell you one. I nearly died. One rhema. The guy came, then he opened scripture to Revelation chapter 11. And then he was talking about the number of man. Then he said, and the number is 666. Then he said, have you noticed that the church has never called it 666? That's the first time I was discovering that all of us always call it 666. We never really called it 666. But then we know by homiletics that the number of man is 6, not 666. So he said, why was it 666? Then he entered into history and showed that man began work after the fall from hard work, from labor. So it was the physical man was striving to live and wasn't concerned about the principle of God and perfected his way in an agrarian work society. Until man dominated the physical realm, then moved in wisdom by the help of God into the soulish realm. So technology, everything just began. So what man had conquered in work, he now began to conquer in the soul realm. So that everything you ask man to do, you tell him, move this thing from here to here, he's already thinking, which machine can do that? And now, about the best that can be created out of the soulish realm, man has at least found the technology to create it. Then he said, the next and final realm is the realm of the spirit. That's okay. He didn't say this part. Instantly, it opened up to me. Then I discovered that, have you noticed that every Hollywood movie is now tending towards magic and spirit? Spiritual intelligence. They are opening up portals to other realms and permitting people. When we were growing up, our cartoons were more machinery. So you find things just become machine. Then it'd be like, say, we're the same generation. If you don't know what he's talking about, we're not mates. Do you understand? Now, almost every cartoon, every movie is pointing towards the spiritual, and it is cutting God off so that the third six will be perfected when the spiritual realm is subdued and God is kept out of it. When he said it, he didn't say this part that I just explained because of the cartoons. He said that the next attempt of man will be to find access to the spirit. Then Genesis 11. Hey! For nothing they are supposed to do. And they were building a tower in the physical that was supposed to appear to God. That was what was happening inside me. Because you cannot shut my scripture engine room as you are talking. Then I now discovered, Pastor Ben, me and you have gone up. God is not up like this. But those guys were building a tower from the earth whose top was to get to God. And God said that if they had continued, they'll do it. Then Anna said, Mogbe, this thing did not start today. Now, if you have a younger pastor who teaches this rhema, and you, the Jew, you know, I don't call myself Jew until I'm about to insult myself. You, the Jew, you are sitting there and listening. If your internal work is not healthy, it's the last day that guy will hold a mic in that church. Even offering, you will not take. So hear me, which is all I came to say to you as pastors. And I'll add one more statement to it. If you don't keep your internal working healthy, you will find out. that every time you get up, you will damage things that were supposed to build your ministry. You will cut out people that were supposed to help you. You will break people who were supposed to, you know. Please, deal with intimidation. Deal with family challenges. If you have a challenge at home, sit down with your wife or husband. Deal with it. If not, you will come to the office, you'll be angry with people who did not annoy you. Do you understand it? Deal. I have learned it. I've learned to keep my soul space healthy for the sake of the people I lead. One day, one of my girls said to me, "Pastor, you have not done us well." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I've never seen you and mommy fighting." I said, "Is that how they do you well?" She said, "Yes, we would have been able to see that your challenges are natural." Then I said to her, "I agree with you. We would have shown you the natural processes by which we deal with our challenges. But for me, my atmosphere means everything to me. So when I need to deal, I take my wife to our room. We deal. We shout there. I have cultured myself to the degree that if I step out of my room, I have told all of my being, you are stepping back into righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You can't take the atmosphere here and damage the atmosphere there. The children who are living with you do not deserve the pain that they did not cause." Do you get it? The moment you understand it, deal with your eternal framework. Do you understand it? Don't take opinions too personally. You deal with your internal framework. Now, let me say the highest reason why you need to deal with your internal framework. God needs you in perfect peace to give you your next direction. If God meets a man who is troubled, his assignment to the man is to bring the man to peace. But if God meets a man who is in perfect peace, He gives the man the next set of instructions. If you have a bad internal structure, the Holy Ghost will be wasting instruction time healing you. Did you get it? Now, please get me right. It is the Holy Ghost who heals us at whatever level. At whatever level. I'm just saying that if the internal structure is bad, you will be broken by everything that you're not supposed to be broken by. Do you get it? You'll be broken by. Let me tell you the last intimidation I had to fight. Okay, I will. I will. Thank you. Now, the last one I had to deal with personally. I got up one day and I found out that I had a pastor in my church who was counseling more people than me. And almost everybody that came to me would say, and I went to Pastor Male. And I went to Pastor Male and he said, "Now, this was the problem, Pastor Ben. You know when Satan wants to work on you, when he has time, you take a grinding stone from your grandmother's village, put it in your house, then sit down on top." It's one of my former friends that used to describe it like that. He said, when Satan wants to deal with you, you take a grinding stone from your grandmother's village, then you put it in your house, then you sit down on top. That's to tell you that it's not about to move. What, Pastor King, what I didn't see, I didn't ask, is there anybody this man has counseled not right? No, that's not the first question. The first thing Satan says to you is, hey, he's about to take your church. Let me tell you, it was the day I said it that he knew it happened. That's to tell you that there was not a reaction born out of me from that suggestion of Satan. Why? The moment Satan said it to me, I asked Satan, is it without cause? I was the one asking Satan, how many weeks am I in this church? No, I was asking Satan so that he can answer me. I said, and if naturally I'm not here, is it your great grandmother that will take care of these people? If you don't talk to Satan like that, you will be thinking you are thinking. No, you are not thinking. Your thoughts are under attack. Know it. The Bible says Jesus was tempted like as we are. So do you think that Satan appeared to him in black coat and said, if you are the son of God? Even my last child would overcome Satan if he shows up like that. You will think, listen to, if you heard this last thing, you have won many victories. Stop thinking, I am just thinking. Know when your thoughts are coming from Satan. And the moment you say to him, Satan, and don't answer thought with thought. Talk back. Talk. Say it out. Find a place where you're alone. Talk back to Satan. If you talk like that, don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You don't think, no, it's not good to be thinking like that. Let me not be thinking like that. No. You are doing that because you are thinking that you are thinking. Yeah. If you know there's an enemy, what you do is you tell him, Satan. So that he knows that you have identified. If you are born again, your fountains are clean. An evil thought cannot rise from there. So if it is an evil thought, it's not from your fountain. Philippians 4 tells you the only things your fountain can produce. Whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is of good report, whatever. Those are the only things I can think. When I think those ones, I'm thinking. When I think they're about to take my church, I know who is speaking. Satan, come. How many weeks am I around? I say, with the number of times I'm not. Is your great grandmother that will take care of them? Then I ask Satan, was there any counsel he gave that was damaging? Pastor Frank, unfortunately for Satan, it was 3 weeks to his birthday. So I called people. I said, we're organizing Pastor O'Malley's birthday. Then on the birthday, he took the microphone. And he said, I want to thank God for my pastor. I was coming from a place where I was damaged and broken. I gave everything. And they fought me. Forgiving everything. I was hearing it for the first time. I didn't know I was dealing with an ancestral devil. Because if it's the devil that drove him from the last place he was, that devil came to visit me. But because I had a healthy heart structure, so now, when people come to me, and the story is long, I don't like long story anymore at that time. Say, go to Pastor Male. So that Satan can be dying. That's the worst that will happen to him. Let him know on every realm that we have conquered him. Please hear me. Keep a heart structure that is healthy. If you do it, the same health will translate into your entire assembly. Then it will open up and permit everybody to come. If you don't do it, what's the statement I made that you said I should explain, sir? Good, thank you. That's our archbishop. Well, that's the archbishop they were all hailing that day. I'm sorry. Hi. You know, in the days of Hitler, we greet like this. Did anybody hear me? You will create a healthy environment for things to thrive. So one pastor asked me, you are supposed to be a pastor. You travel this often. How are you able to keep it all together? I said, it is simple. The environment is healthy. Sin cannot thrive in it. Everybody belongs to everybody. Pastor K just said the shortcut. It's a family. The moment we raise a family, the family will function whether the father is there or not. There's a structure to take care of it. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Everything has been said. No more to say. No more to say. Maybe we'll take it again from tomorrow. But one statement that he, and he always goes, where the glory is, that's where the gold is. Cultivate the glory. Stay with the glory. The gold will come. you have access to abundance, period. You have access to abundance. You have access to abundance. It's not naira and kobo. Abundance has no currency. There is no money today. Thank you, Pastor Chintok, for that word. Thank you so much. Thank you for breaking out the health of a pastor. The health of a pastor. One of the greatest movements here. I'm not even involved in it, but I know it. It's the inner healing. Just as you have cut in your body that needs healing, there are many of you that young man, the birthday you did for him healed him. Brought closure. One of the speakers of the School of Creativity, Noel Chorman, we're in inner healing. I didn't know I was going for inner healing. 2012, November, when a pastor began to cry. All of them were crying in that place. I say, they have deceived me to come to this training. I traveled for 22 hours, flew about four planes, or five, waited in an airport one for 5 hours. And I said, it's crying, I came to see. Many of us have been reduced to principles. How many of you, they taught you principles of saving? Now your savings is bigger than God. I'm a John Maxwell certified coach. That's for the word. But there's one principle John Maxwell says in his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws. He said it's the hardest principle for him to teach. The hardest law to teach is the law of intuition. He didn't want to say it, the law of the presence of God. Very hard. You can't teach somebody's mind who is depraved the presence of God. So he called it intuition. So that it's a language for the marketplace. And I've been in the meetings. On Sunday morning is church service in that certification. 14 CEO companies are giving their life to Christ. So when I see believers say, I can't talk about Jesus in the marketplace, I say, I'll be wondering. It's the way you present him. As a pastor, you must raise a spiritually vibrant church. People with spiritual steel backbone. Who will go to the marketplace and not steal? And have that fellowship, koinonia, with the Holy Spirit. And understand that it's not pursuing the gold. It's pursuing the glory. And the gold is always there. We use this hall every year, 80 days. This floor alone, to rent this hall plate, is 700,000 for one use. One hall. If they pity you, maybe under 450. Per use for 3 hours or four. Calculate. That's how one of our locations, when we were at one place, the landlord said, I came to that meeting, you have this. We're going to give you money. He said, no, I don't take this money. For that money, if you ask me how much we pay, I can't tell you. We paid with the glory. Some people say, what's the glory? I don't know. Everybody has their own definition of glory. Because if I not teach you the glory, now it's not onto principle. I'm telling you. I can't explain it. It's not explainable. It's only encountered. And that's why it's talking about the light of the revelation of the word that hits you. So you see, most believers don't spend time in the word. They don't spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But they spend time fellowshipping with what the word is saying to them. CNN, Facebook, and all those things. And all those things breeding fear into your life. And cracks your wine skin. That when the new wine comes, you can't even carry. You are leaking with revelation. You can't host a revelation for too long. Because the storms that Peter saw, the wind, it diverted his attention and began to sit. He began to sink in the midst of him walking in water. It was possible for him to walk on water. Possible. At least he even said, he even tried. The rest, Uncle. The rest that did not even come out. Listen, we are coming to some seasons in life that you need the presence more than anything. So if they are going into what is called your own spiritual intelligence to subdue you, now this is what they are doing. And that's what is make many people to be depressed. Thank God for online, but online does not replace fellowship. Don't even try it. What are they trying to do? They are taking you to the realm of artificial intelligence, where you are interacting with robots. Do you know what it means for me to hug you and you to hug me back? Do you know the hormones that is activated in my body and your body? It's called the happy hormones. The dopamine, the oxytocin, the serotonin, and the endorphins. That's what Igbo activates. That's what Igbo activates. And it's only activated by a simple hug. Just one hug. Then you say, I should be looking at TV. Say, glory, hallelujah. What did he say? Praise the Lord. Rodney Howard Brown is now doing close to 200 days meeting every day in the heart of Florida, Miami. Isn't America? So they are moving into spiritual intelligence. There's a church. The Better Church went into Google to teach them spiritual intelligence. As people who had were listening to spiritual intelligence. For the spirit controls the natural. Now they are showing you magic film. Magic.
Nothing left. Only magic that they can show something.
They were not talking about encounters in church. Let me tell you 16 ways to make money. Make money. Cultivate the glory and see whether you don't find gold. Stay with the glory. The gold is there. They had money in the wilderness, all the provision, but they didn't spend one. The only time they spent the money was to worship God. So your money is to give away, not to eat. Ephesians 4:28. Let him there still no more. Let you walk in his hand so that he'll be able to eat. No, give. Just give. The day you go to church, they don't collect offering. Be angry. And for us as pastors, sometimes I will need to repent too. For over pampering and not putting them in in the place of sacrifice. If you're a pastor, you have heard about curses on pastors on social media. Before you know it, you start saying, if you like, give. If you don't want to give, it's okay. Before you know it, lack will enter the church. The fear that you say they will leave you, they will still leave you. Because you have raised up very carnal people. Giving is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Our goal is to raise a church that everybody hears God. So that you say, go and pray and know what to give. Somebody will pray and he'll give his airplane. Another person will pray and give his grinding stone. Another, I'm telling you. Because these are sacrifices at all levels. And God calls for sacrifice, not this one that you just say, what is in my pocket? Now, I'm sure if you give some money, all of a sudden the voice will be clear. And does it not shock you it's when you don't have that you say you should give? Then you'll now be saying, when I get, I go give. All you need to say is yes and amen and see whether the thing will not come. Or it will just open your eyes to see what you will give. The answer to every lack is to give. The answer to every lack. And so we have raised up what is called very carnal Christians. Very carnal. I can be carnal sometimes. Instead of me to push you for sacrifice, I will be pampering you. Don't worry, that's how God wants it. Don't worry, just don't do it that way. Just you can't. Because as a pastor, you have a heart to say, don't worry, just be like that. Don't worry. God is not angry. When God is telling you, tell him to give his house. He said, I cannot tell him that one. He just lost his car. So tomorrow we have a time, so just come and pastors, please invite other pastors. You see, this life is very easy. There's no struggle in this thing. What you did last year, don't repeat it again if he didn't tell you. They say pandemic, must you do 8 days meeting? I said that I didn't hear any other one. Now, they want to keep you away from each other. Because they have perfected the act of being together. But in the face of the word, they are not meeting. It's a lie. So they want to drive us to machines. So that we are interacting with machines and not interacting with other people, with human beings. And they are wondering, why is it not working in Africa? And many intelligent people are even rising up in Africa. Must we open church? And many intelligent pastors are saying, until we can control the disease that Jesus cannot cure.
Yeah, yes. That one that is very hard for Jesus
to cure. You know what baffles me is that many believers in their workplace, people have caught COVID, but they are still going. Do you know during the pandemic in our state, boutiques sold more clothes?
No.
Boutiques. Where's shoe? I don't know where they were going. There was one challenge that you pull your cloth, you take picture, you put on that cloth, take picture, you dance, you pull up. Even believers were doing that challenge. Must you do every challenge? The boutiques were selling. And the people who are selling the boutiques, who are believers, were not even coming to church at all. But they were opening their shop. I really wonder that Corona only targets church. Where church is, anywhere they call Jesus, Corona will just be there. The market was the worst. Nothing like physical distance in market. But people were going because they don't want to die of hunger. And many believers became selfish. They were earning money. They were earning money. When you say, is it now they are collecting tithe? Then when they don't have food,
They say, what is the church now doing? Come on. Come on. What is the church now doing? He say, when you go to London, you go to, let me tell you, those food that churches share in London and America is not bought by the church. All those food, most of them, it's about 2 months to expiry. Or a month to expiry. So the company brings those food. Then the church will not give them a receipt because they have a 501k status. So those food they give to church becomes tax exemption to them. So really, Americans are not generous into business. The most generous people on the face of the earth are Nigerians. So sometimes, be careful. So be careful when you now bring shame. The church in Nigeria have no form, there's no grant, there's nothing.
Nothing.
We are relying based on the mercy and the help of God.
That's all. That's all. That's all.
One day meet your pastor, say, show us the total offering.
Hey.
Then let him now, you don't stop at that. He says, show us the total bill for that week. Expenses. Then your pastor will now call you, say, help me share up. I'm traveling. Please meet all the bills. I assure you, you won't leave the altar that day. You will cry to God. It doesn't add up. You see, I used to tell music ministers, I say, what is all this? We have started again. Some of them were not playing at all now. We started seeing free shows on Facebook. We're worshiping now. All of us will now worship. They call you, say, now 2 million, you're fetic. I don't have a problem with them honoring you. Now, for 7 months, no pandemic. So we are even writing churches, please help us. No, we have not been going for ministration. To walk, to show. The church is a family. There was never a day within our community that people did not go home with their money. Even if the pandemic continues. Because the prayer room was open.
Yeah.
Where the glory is. You think it's church service that bring money? You see, they want to open church because they want to collect tithe. Don't let people shame you. Be bold to speak about it. And be bold to tell them to give it. Do you know how many people were make believers that understood the spirit? I knew a photographer who was not doing anything. Every time they would call him, how are you surviving? Now send me your account. Photographer. Do you know how many photographers suffered? In the pandemic, that one bought a car.
I love pandemic.
I love pandemic. I will come to the office. Nobody will say, hey, I have a deco.
Hey.
I will pray 2 hours in the prayer room. Nobody is coming. Somebody is waiting for you. All of them are at home. We're locked down. But I'm an essential worker. Listen, the church, the pastors are essential service people.
Solid.
They are the ones taking care of your spiritual. So pastors, this is what I tell pastors all the time. I have the best job on the face of the earth.
That's it.
So many jobs were locked down. I can't lock my job down. So Donald Trump now came out. It took a president that you said does not know Jesus to tell that the church is essential service. Then most times, you know, most pastors in Nigeria are operating under shame. Their voices, they want to silence them because of some bad people around. Just as you have fake pastors, so you have fake doctors. Have you stopped going to hospital? You can't shame me. Into now saying, what do you do? I will not say, I'm a life coach. I'm a consultant. I'm spiritual. If I want our conversation to be long in plain, that's when I'd say all those things. But that I'll not be feeling ashamed that I'm a pastor. I have the best job on earth. I'm a speaker. What did they speak? The speaker newspaper those days. We used to have one newspaper called The Speaker. I'm a speaker. Speak with it. No. Let's call some things. We threw away the prophetic. We threw away some things and we handed it over to the people that read Palm. Then we now brought many principles. Huh? The principle of church growth did not work on pandemic.
It cannot work. And my membership was increasing in pandemic.
People were joining live groups. Why? They reduce us to our place of strength. Now, today, in Lagos, they have opened church. People refuse to come. Some of them are even laughing from Lagos. They were even tired of the traffic, Seth. say, Pastor, we are watching. We are watching. We are watching. Watching TV. Before you know it, one beep has come. You say, let me quickly check this thing on Facebook. Let me check this on WhatsApp. You have left and everything. You'll be coming back. Revelation has gone. Do you know what it means to be present? There is something going on around here. There is a healing that is taking place as we are worshiping that you will not know that locked into your system was a blood clot that's about to attack your heart. In the place of worship, the word, the presence of God fell. We cannot even explain all of it. We don't even know that some of you were beat for heart attack in the next 2 hours. And the presence of God came, fell upon you. You were shaking on the floor as if they were pressing you. No, it was taking away some things that would have killed you. He said, behold, how good that it is for brethren to dwell together. You see, four things sustained them in the book of Acts. They followed the apostles' doctrine. You see, this apostles' doctrine we're talking about, it's not doctrine in the Bible. It's just says the Lord from the mouth of your pastor. That's what's called apostles' doctrine. What is God saying now? So you heard him say, I see God. We saw it. He heard him say, stretch. He even preached stretch without even knowing stretch. That this is where it's coming. God wants to stretch many of you. All those bad things you know. All those, do you know how many of you are confused in the pandemic? You went to different master classes. People who are not mastered themselves. Who have not even mastered themselves. They were not teaching you master classes. I'm not saying don't go for all those things. According to the small money you have to even give offering to your pastor now, you were going to master because they were telling you after the pandemic you come out strong. Did you know? What was post-COVID? The person that could not predict COVID, how can he predict the outcome? And somebody called and said, I'm confused. I'm going to different training. Now I'm confused. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Four things sustain them. And these four things, what they were destroying, they are silencing the voice of your pastor. That many people listen to their speakers more than their pastor. Yeah. Many people are so connected with social media influencers who are not even influenced themselves. But because how are they influencers? Because they just have number of followers. Celebrity is not leadership. My friend has less followers, but his tweets commands the attention of U.S. Department of State. Because he knows the phrases to use that it will pop up in their radar and say, what's this person talking about? His writing orchestrated the removal of the ambassador in his country. If you are followed by 15 million fools, so be careful. Some of the things we have taken as so things. The question is that some of you cannot hear God, hear your pastor first. A baby sheep hears the mother sheep first. Before you hear, there are some things God will never tell you directly. Because if he tells you everything, you become proud. He can even live in the mouth of your child. And he say, go to that person. So that you'll know him after the spirit. These are the workings we need to. Sometimes I'm just walking. Because of the culture we create, somebody who is not even a pastor just said, this is what I heard from you. A little girl hugged me, whispered in my ears what Bishop Tudor Bismarck told me in October last year. Yeah. And the mother said, what did you say? He said, it doesn't concern you. 3 years old. If 3 years old is hearing God, that's a Jesus witch. And I love them for that. Very pure in heart. If you want to get pure prophecy and pure, if I pray for you, you are not well, just look for a child in this place. And they can pray for you like say, oh, Father, bless this food. Just receive your an offering to the Lord. You know, God does not mark English. He said, what is he saying? He said, okay, just me healing. Okay, that's what he's saying. Eh? Interpret it like that. So let's be careful with these four things. Don't let prayer leave your life. That's why we converted this hope. This, you say, it's a camp meeting. So that you can be, you are free to receive tea. You have gone to all those master class. You stay 3 hours listening. It comes to the word of God now. 30 minutes never pass now. So you're the church. You never finish. You have loaded your physical man. You have loaded your soul very strong. The spirit man that regulates everything. Very small. Let me tell you, people have built big things with their soul. Because man is self can produce. But God wants you to walk into rest. And from rest walk. So that the more you are at peace. I know some people used to say, they say that church is church of youth. Like what you were saying. I got saved when I was in secondary school. Lost focus in secondary school. I was preaching in JS1. People were getting saved. Lost it because you know why? The person that was taking my hand, I can't find him till today. So in 2017, we have been doing reposition for many years. In 2007, I was in Italy, just doing a morning, early morning jog, and the God told me, he said, why did I not allow people above 20 to enter the promised land? He said, all these people, you are all these youth, you are saying above 20, damage. Go and focus on these children. David was killing bear before he was 17. What all these children can do? So we started secondary school. They have been doing it too. So you have only two ghetto. And we have only two ghetto. I don't know. When you are just saying, when you are saying all these things, I'll be wondering, there's this guy, what's happening? I don't know about little girl. Very small. That one is just radical for the Lord because she got saved in secondary school. And we're getting a lot. This place last year was jammed with secondary school. And we felt, oh, oh Lord, we brought the first lady to come and speak to them. And they were asking her baby's question. Then we will not focus on those one that we, when you say one thing, say, Pastor, hey, but. But they will not bring the one they heard from their speaker.
Yes.
But this is what, all these ones, if you tell them genuinely, they will pick up that word and they begin to run with it. So find where you are. And if you are a pastor, God calls you to such people. You don't go and compare yourself. Say, my church is not growing. What do you mean by growth? You are guarding children. They can't give you 1 million naira offering. The highest they can do is to go and call their father or give you their 10 naira. Take the 10 naira to God and see whether you will not do with 10 naira what somebody cannot do with 1 million. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Any question? Anybody with any question?
No question.
Okay. So we have created a strategic management section for pastors and those on the Belief Mountain. So tell your friends that there is something for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor Sly, come and say the closing prayer.
Father, we give you praise this afternoon. Thank you for your word we've learned today. We ask that your word will do us good in the name of Jesus. Interpret your word into our hearts so that even as we live here, we'll become a practical people of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if what you heard today means anything, I think you should encourage some other pastors to come along. All right? Thank you.